for Everett. How's it going over there, Everett? Is it good? Sounding good? Just caught in my beard here. If it's all right, I'll just stay down here. I won't stand and lord myself over you up there. But I'm tall enough that I can see you all anyway. Good evening. Good to be here. Sorry, I wasn't here last Sunday. I was in my North Bay visiting my brother James, so we were not here. And I'll have to let you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be here for the next probably 3 or 4 Sundays because we'll be out east for almost a month. So we're on this coming Sunday morning, we're actually starting the drive out at about probably 4 or 5 a.m. to go make our way to Nova Scotia. So we'll miss you, but rest assured, I'm not playing hooky. We're not just skipping it. We will miss you guys a lot, but we're excited to go see my parents out there and have a nice visit there, and maybe get involved with the church over there, see what they're doing, and help out as best as we can, and just have a nice time visiting. And I think we're bringing Bethany and Dylan back when we come, so you can see them when we come back. They're not coming with us in our car. We'd have to shove them in the trunk, but they'll be traveling the same time we are to come back, so. Anyway, yeah, thank you. I appreciate always the opportunity to come on these Wednesday nights to share and to be able to have this opportunity. I really do appreciate it. So tonight I wanted to talk from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We go there a lot, right? If we're honest, we spend a great deal of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And most specifically, especially at weddings, right? We go to weddings, and almost 9 times out of 10, the preacher at the wedding goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he wants to talk about love, and appropriately so. It's very applicable to our home lives, especially our marriages. But there's a different application in 1 Corinthians 13 that I wanted to look at tonight. That's more specifically focused on the church. Again, I think we spend a lot of time here. I don't think anything I'm probably going to say is brand new information to any of you. It's just something that I feel that God has been teaching me and trying to tell me recently, and I've found a lot of benefit in going into this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, sandwiched between 12 and 14 there, we find Paul talking to the Corinthians. He's talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul spends a great deal of time in the New Testament talking about unity, right? We see him talking about how the church works together as a body, right? And we go from that into the spiritual gifts that God has given us and how we are each given to different things and how that all works together as different pieces of the body to further God's kingdom, to further God's plan for us as his followers, for us as the church. It's one of Paul's pillars, if we can call it that. It's really a big focus for him. And at 1 Corinthians 13, I think sometimes we don't actually take the time to take a look at why he's actually talking about this topic of love. And in that kind of cluster of chapters there, 12, 13, 14, he's really looking at something that the Corinthians have really been kind of digging into recently, which is spiritual gifts and figuring out those deeper mysteries, as he calls them, and kind of diving into how we work together, right? So we get to this point where Paul is addressing different aspects of how we work together, and he wants to make an emphasis on one specific thing, and that is love. He comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He wants to talk about the one thing that's better than all these other spiritual gifts that he just talked about, and he wants to hone in on it. He wants to spend a little time talking about it. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And starting from verse 1, I have the heading over this. It says, "Love is the greatest." And I want to change that a little bit to say, "Love is the greatest for the church." And kind of mold that heading a little bit. He says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, and would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. These things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been unloving? Maybe acted in an unloving way. I think we don't really need to ask that question. We can all answer it and say yes. I think if any of us said no, we're probably stretching the truth a little bit. We've all had moments in our lives, maybe personal, professional, church lives, wherever it might be applicable, we've all had moments where we did not act in love. We let our emotions get the best of us, and we kind of put our faith to the side even and said, you know what, I'm just going to ignore what I know to be right here, and I'm just going to act out a little bit. It's happened to all of us, right? And again, I think that's a very natural thing given our sinful state as human beings. But, I want to focus in a little bit on that, again, as it relates to the church, because I find that it's very interesting sometimes, because when Paul talks about us being this body of Christ, we often end up kind of in situations where there's disagreements, there's kind of quarrels, there's rumblings, and we end up acting in a way that really we know we shouldn't. And I think that's why I've been kind of thinking of this as it relates to us as Christians in the body of Christ. And when I say church, I don't just necessarily mean local church. I mean the corporate church, right? With all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever it may be. We tend to be opinionated people, right? just not us here in particular necessarily, but Christians. I think the majority of Christians, when it comes to various things, are quite opinionated. And I don't think that's always a bad thing, because there are obviously specific doctrines and truths that we know and that we believe that we should be strongly convicted of, right? That we should really, truly believe in. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about those things to other people. And, you know, it's obviously going to sometimes ruffle some feathers, and there's going to be some disagreements. But when we're looking at how we operate as a church, as a community of believers, there's some things that Paul is trying to tell us that we should pay attention to. Because again, when he's talking about this topic of love in chapter 13, he's talking to the Corinthians in the context of them learning their spiritual gifts and figuring these things out as a church. And he's making this very, very strong effort to point out that love is very important when going through these things. It's going through church growth, right? Every day we're growing as Christians if we're, you know, communing with God and living as we should. And Paul is using this example of them learning and growing in these deeper things, these deeper truths about spiritual gifts and how the body of Christ works together. And he knows, I think, that there's going to be some disagreements, there's going to be some issues. And in this particular case, too, the Corinthians were specifically very, very focused on speaking in tongues as that spiritual gift. And they were kind of honing in on that. And Paul was trying to not distract them necessarily, but turn them away from that specific gift and say, hey, listen, we're all growing through this process right now. We're all learning about spiritual gifts, and we're understanding that, and we're trying to grow through it. And I want to take a step back and show you that there's actually something separate from that that matters even more, and that's how we love each other. And again, this is not not new information. I don't think I need to go through, all the different types of love. I think we're all on the same page in knowing this is not romantic love or anything like that. This is not a feel-good kind of love. This is agape love. This is a deeper, more God-like love, right? This is the love that God shows to us as humans. And Paul wants to hone in on it and talk about how that works with us and how that should be the dominant aspect of how we interact with each other. In a church setting, we're a family, right? We're called to be a family. We're often pictured as a family, of course, like I just said, of the body of Christ and all the different members. We are a family. We're the family of God. And in any family, there are disputes. In any family, there are things that happen that cause a little bit of tension. And things that come up between us and things that we disagree on and all those kinds of things. If we don't operate under what 1 Corinthians 13 is directing us in, it's going to lead to bigger, deeper problems, right? It's going to lead to division among us, and that's ultimately not what God wants. God wants us to be united in our goal to serve Him. He wants us to be united in serving Him and following Him and seeking Him, right? He wants us to be constantly fixated on Him. But if we're not acting in love towards one another, we can't do that. I wanted to focus in on a couple things in particular here in the verse. Again, we know, or in the chapter, we know the chapter very well. It's an incredible chapter to actually soak up here. Verse 4, it says, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous and is, or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way and is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged." I think this one is one of the most applicable things to us as we live in harmony and as we try to grow with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because again, it's we're all people, we all have differences. We all have things that might, even personality traits that might rub somebody the wrong way, just naturally. We all have different things. Not all of us are the exact same person. If we all were, that'd be pretty boring, to be honest. But we all have different things that might kind of get in the way. But Paul is telling us here, no, we need to have love, and it's patient and it's kind. It's not jealous or boastful. And the one I wanted to kind of hone in on here is that it's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. You know, as we grow as brothers and sisters, again, we're going to face those challenging situations that want to pull us apart and to push us into our different camps and make us stay there. But love is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It's a sad thing when we hold a grudge, right? It's a sad thing when somebody does something wrong to us and we're so obsessed with it. We can't let it go. We can't just, you know, move on from that one little thing. But you know what? Love is different. Love takes a different path. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love moves beyond that grudge, that little kerfuffle that we had. Love doesn't care about that. Love wants only to see the best happen for God's kingdom. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Again, it's really easy for us to see other Christians and to see them on their maybe even within our church, and to kind of act in a spiteful way where maybe they wanted something to happen, and we kind of see that blow up in their face, and we kind of chuckle to ourselves and be like, well, I kind of knew that would happen. That's really not what God wants us to be doing as Christians. He wants us to be focusing on love, and love doesn't do that. And love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. One of the incredible things about love is that it like Paul says, it lasts forever. It's a binding thing between us as Christians to love each other, to be able to show each other that we truly care about each other in the Lord and that we genuinely love each other. When a family comes together and they show that kind of love for each other, that unconditional love, the love that doesn't care that somebody made a mistake along the way, the love that isn't picky or choosy about things, the love that just accepts that person as their family member and says, it just welcomes them in. And when we operate like that as a church, we flourish. And I think that's what Paul is trying to drive home here to the Corinthians too. This topic of love is so applicable. I mean, it's so applicable to our church, to ourselves, to our home lives, to our work lives. wherever it is, this is applicable to us. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I mean, this is not some sort of hippie love thing where everything is love and there's nothing else matters. That's not at all what I'm kind of focusing in on here. Obviously, the other parts do matter, and especially when we're talking about the gospel, we do have love for the lost. I hope we have love for the lost, for the people who need the Lord Jesus. But there is obviously the other side of this, right? God has many attributes, one of them being love, and another being His judgment, right? And He will obviously judge sin, and we're not supposed to take this chapter and somehow translate it to nothing matters but love, and we should just accept everything the way it is. That's not what God is teaching us here. That's not what Paul is trying to tell us. He's using this example for how we interact with each other as Christians and how we embrace one another as Christians. But why is love so great? Why is it that, when Paul goes through this, he lists all these incredible things that love is and that love does and doesn't do, and he ends by saying that love is the best of them all, and love will remain forever, and love is the greatest, right? He keeps focusing in on this fact that love is better. Why is love better? Why is this love so useful to us? I think the answer is really in the fact that, as I said before, this love, this agape love, is an attribute of our God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. This love is different. This is not the love that we feel for our spouse necessarily, or for even our children. This love goes far deeper and far greater than that. And this love is power. This love is unconditional. This love pre-exists us. And it's incredible to know that God has this attribute of Him that really fits all these things. And somebody had suggested one time that you could theoretically take the word love out of this chapter and just replace it with God, and it would actually it all kind of lines up with who the person of God is. And largely that's really true. You can take all these things that love does and doesn't do, and all these different attributes of God, or of love rather, and you can see how those all stem from God and how they all kind of translate out to this, and that's why it's so important. That's why it works, because this is how God acts towards us. Even that verse, I don't remember what number it was off the top of my head here, but just, where love keeps no record of wrong. And my mind always goes back to, where, I struggle to remember the reference at the moment, but your sins and your lawless deeds I'll remember no more, as God talks to Israel through a prophet. It's incredible to think of this direct correlation between this love that Paul is talking about and the very nature of God and how they work together. But not only that, it's so important for us as the church, because God uses Himself and the church as this wonderful example of this bride and groom, right? And how they come together as one. And that is also encapsulated through this love that God is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He wants us to see how important this is. This love draws us together. It binds us together. It keeps us focused. God wants us to be focused on building each other up in Christ. He wants us to be loving to each other. He wants us to really show that kind of love that He showed to the church itself, to each other as we are members of the church. It's an incredible chapter to see how we have all these different attributes. And it's such a challenging thing to live up to, because we're weak, right? We're just little tiny humans in the great big world, right? But it's the power of God that gives us the ability to do this, to love one another in this way. It's so easy to see and kind of pick out things happening in the world and just to see the kind of crazy stuff that goes on. And you know, some things that always kind of shock me, and perhaps maybe it shouldn't, are when, you know, I'm talking to people and they're talking about how somebody did something to them and they just totally write them off and they're just, you know, completely, you know what, oh, they did that thing, so I'm so done with them. You know, I don't need them anymore. They're, you know, get them out of my life. And, you know, it's so powerful that we have this example from God that that is just not the way to go about this, especially in the church. When we have issues, when we have quarrels, and when we have disagreements, we can move beyond them because of the love that God has shown the church, because of the love that God has shown us. We can move beyond them, and we can move towards this beautiful thing called love, and we can move towards that and focus our eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he ultimately is the one who showed the greatest amount of love for us in dying for us on the cross. We need love as a body of Christ. If we didn't need that, then Paul wouldn't have written this chapter under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We need this reminder because we're weak. We're people. We're humans. We need this reminder because we're going to fail. We're going to act in unloving ways to other people sometimes, and it's going to backfire on us. And if we don't stay fixated on what the Scripture teaches us about how to interact with each other, we're going to miss out on a lot, especially as a body of Christians. God wants to see us grow. He wants to see us grow into our spiritual gifts. He wants to see us work together as one body in Christ. But we're not going to get there if we're unloving to each other, if we're not showing this kind of love that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. He wants us to experience this because it's the greatest, as that heading says. He wants us to have that super laser focus on the Lord Jesus that causes us to change our entire attitude into this loving, caring attitude that really wants to build each other up and just care about each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the love that you showed towards us. Father, we are weak, and Lord, sometimes we act in a way that's not right, that's not loving towards one another. Father, we need your help, and we really can't get through this. We can't operate in a way that's pleasing to you without the Holy Spirit to help us, without your guidance, Father. We just pray that you would give us patience with each other, and as we grow as a body of Christ, Father, I pray that you would just really give us focus and help us, Lord. Help us to seek you. Whenever we feel this kind of depart from us, Father, I pray that you would just help us to be focused in again on what you have to say to us in 1 Corinthians 13. Lord, it's so important. We need this kind of truth every day, because there's always temptation for us to turn away and to do the wrong thing. So Father, may you just grant us the will and the power to really just live in the way that you want us to, and just give us grace and patience for each day. In Jesus' name.